Well, where would we be without our wetlands? Some would say completely underwater or absolutely dry. It's hard to say. We do know that we rely on them as part of our ecosystem and the interconnectedness of all things. It is American Wetlands Month, so it is only appropriate that we turn our attention to the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today, and our next guest is Katie Belfis. She is the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And if you have questions about wetlands in your backyard or the role they play in our ecology, if you own a wetland and have a comment, you are welcome to join our conversation at any time at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us a quick email. talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. And Katie, welcome back to the Larry Mueller Show.
It's terrific to be with you. Thank you so much, Lee.
Is it me, or have we largely until recently sort of misunderstood wetlands? It feels like back in the day when you found a wetland, your first move was to fill it in.
Oh, you are so right about that. And I have spent my career working towards undoing that understanding of wetlands. And you're right that we did, even our government paid people to fill wetlands because we saw them as wastelands or obstacles to progress. And our job at the Wetlands Association is to really work towards making people understand the treasures that these wetlands are for us in so many ways.
So how recent is this deeper understanding of our ecological connectedness to the wetlands and how crucial they are for all of us?
Well, I think it started in the 70s when Lake Erie was on fire and we had the Clean Water Act come into being. And I think it has grown over time. And, the Clean Water Act has been wonderful. And also it's been a challenge because it made people a little bit scared of wetlands because they were a regulated resource. And so while we are big fans of regulatory protections for wetlands, that's a very important thing. We also work very hard as an organization to help wetlands be less scary to people and to help create and strengthen programs that enable people to protect and restore them on a voluntary basis, not because somebody told them they had to, because then we take the fear out of that and help people see how wetlands can help take care of and support the things they already care about.
Well, make that case for us, Katie. How do wetlands help wildlife and our lives?
Yeah, well, wildlife is the thing that most people think about when they think about wetlands. We've seen estimates that as much as 70% or 75% of Wisconsin's wildlife species use wetlands at some time in their life cycle. Sometimes all the time, sometimes just for critical times like reproduction, baby rearing, all those good things. And so we are big fans of wildlife habitat, don't get me wrong, but our organization has worked really hard in recent years to really focus more on the water quality and water management aspects of wetlands.
Yeah.
For example, they're just so important for absorbing rain and snow melt and floodwaters and absorbing those and holding those, recharging aquifers, helping prevent damage to downstream human infrastructure. They're very important for water quality, absorbing all kinds of nutrients and other things in the water column that make our lakes, rivers, and streams cleaner. So we really focus on those benefits and how wetlands can help save communities money on infrastructure involvement. In development, save farmers money on managing crop areas where they've had erosion or where they have had too much water or not enough water. So there's lots of ways that wetlands can be a really important part of the solution to community challenges, whatever those might be.
And how do you see the role of wetlands in the age of climate change, Katie?
So important. I mean, wetlands are those places on the landscape between the always wet places and the always dry places. So they're that critical middle juncture. And as we have changing climate and changing weather patterns, making sure we have those areas so that when we're in dry times, we've got wetlands that are absorbing the waters that we can and letting that water, into the aquifers underground, which then recharges our streams in times of drought or when it's, times of too much water. They're there helping hold the water and let it go more slowly and really slow the flow on the landscape to minimize the damages that as we talked about before.
So you make them sound like the buffer in our extremes.
Right. totally agree with you, Lee. That's exactly right.
I'm just agreeing with you, Katie. So how many, are there different kinds of wetlands, or is a wetland a wetland?
Oh, there's lots of different kinds of wetlands.
Really?
And that's what makes them so wonderful and interesting and fun, but also really challenging, because not everybody sees a given area as a wetland, so they get overlooked sometimes. But and of course, you know, wetlands are wetlands from wetlands perspective. We humans want to put them into categories of different kinds of wetlands, and there's many different systems for categorizing wetlands. But just from a sort of simplicity basic step, our organization recognizes, I think it's sort of 10 or 12 different main wetlands types. There's wetlands with trees. There's wetlands that might look more like a prairie to the general eye, because you don't see a big pocket of open water or a duck floating on that open water. So there's a lot. They do come in all shapes and sizes, and that diversity is wonderful and important.
So what do we know about the wetlands that we have lost in Wisconsin, Katie?
Great question. Well, first I need to say that we have lost half of our state wetlands, which is a lot, but it's, I will say in our defense, it is better than some of the other states to our south and west, because many of our northern wetlands, it were harder to convert for farming purposes. And really agricultural development was a main reason for wetland loss. And I'm not saying anything bad about farmers, because I love food just like anybody else, and we really need farmers. And at the time, right, folks didn't recognize when they were draining land for farming, they were just thinking about making food. They weren't thinking about the loss there. And the more we work with farmers, the more we just, it's clarified for us that they love land more than everybody, right? They just, they're so deeply connected, and we have really strong relationships with farmers. So no diss on farmers in the fact that some of our agricultural loss was at their, in our history there was for agricultural development. So because we've lost all of those wetlands, we don't have the services that those wetlands used to provide, the natural benefits, right? The flood abatement, the water quality cleaning, the slowing the flow, all those good things. And when we lose those services, we see more water quality and quantity challenges. And if you overlaid a map of our waterways that are at risk, that need help, then, and you overlay that with where we have lost wetlands on our landscape in Wisconsin, there's a remarkable alignment. Where we've lost wetlands, our rivers and streams are in trouble. And where we haven't, they're in much better shape.
And I just go back to the idea that it's really more recent than not that we've come to understand just how integral wetlands are to our ecosystem, not just wildlife, but the human ecosystem. So
absolutely,
we've just learned, that's all. And we continue to learn, which I think is a big part of that. Katie Belfis is the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And today we celebrate American Wetlands Month. Taking your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Adam in Stevens Point. Adam, good afternoon.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. So
yeah.
I have 20 acres. About a third of it is wetland. There's a creek that I can see from the satellite photo that runs through it. I was wondering what would be the legality and the effects if I were to dig out that creek and try and make it so that it kind of drain the land around it to make it a little more useful.
Hmm. Katie?
Anytime you're dealing with the navigable waterway, you need to make sure you're following all the rules, right? And so that is not my area of expertise. I'll be very clear, but I know there are some really great people at the Wisconsin DNR who that is their job and requirement. And if you want to reach out to our office, info@wisconsinwetlands.org, I know it's hard to navigate and find the right folks sometimes on websites. So if you can email us, we'll be happy to connect you with the right folks that you need to talk to about that.
That's info@wisconsinwetlands.org. And Katie, how important is something like the Department of Natural Resources in the state of Wisconsin to our wetlands?
Well, of course they're important. Of course they're a landowner. They own a lot of wetlands. Although I will say, of our state's remaining wetlands, something on the order of 75% of them are privately owned.
Like Adams.
So we think about the beautiful places, Horicon Marsh and, you know, lots of Wyalusing State Park. And we think, oh, these, the DNRs, we're all set. We've got that. But 75% of our remaining wetlands are in private ownership. So private landowners have a really important role to play in that. And yes. I'll stop there.
but that includes Adams. So thank you so much for the call and the inquiry. And I hope you follow through with Wisconsin Wetlands, info@wisconsinwetlands.org. We'll go to Jeff in Minocqua next. Jeff, good afternoon.
Hello. Great program. There is a major threat to wetlands and conservation easements. This group out of Texas called the American Stewards of Liberty is targeting Wisconsin to eliminate conservation easements and wetlands, and it's because there's mineral deposits on quite a few of these and they want to get at the resources. So if you look up Tom Tiffany's relationship to the American Stewards of Liberty, you'll see how deep of a connection he has with this Texas-based group that is working with some of the northern counties to eliminate wetland conservation. So
and the reason, Jeff, what's the reason as you see it that they're looking to eliminate the wetlands?
They were introduced by Tiffany a couple of years ago when the northern Oneida County was trying to get the Pelican River forest, and there was a copper and zinc deposit in the middle of that, and Tiffany is all for mining this type of natural resources. So he brought this Texas-based group up to Wisconsin to infiltrate Langley County, Oneida County, and Forest County's comprehensive planning efforts, and they stripped all the words about concerns about metallic mining out of those plans. So it's all about natural resource extraction. And Katie knows that they're drilling over in the Shawamakon National Forest in Taylor County.
Well,
this is exactly.
Let's find out what Katie knows here. I appreciate the call, the American Stewards of Liberty. But part of this is the tale that is as old as time, and it is our environment and the ongoing development, which is always going to be a part of our story, the human story. But some sort of balance needs to be found. And so, Katie, where do we find that balance when it comes to, as Jeff points out, the American Stewards of Liberty?
Well, I'll start by saying I don't know anything about the specific case that Jeff raises, and so I'm not going to comment on that, but I will echo what you just said, which is we have to find a balance. We can't just say no to everything. We have to find a way to protect resources and achieve the resources that we need for other purposes and do it in a smart way. And that's not always an easy thing, right? Of course, it can be a big challenge, and
some would see it as one or the other. It's either development or it's environmental protection. But I would imagine, organizations like the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, it is about finding a balance that protects both.
Right. That's exactly right. One of our key values as an organization is being solution-oriented. So really trying to understand what the challenges are and be a productive partner in working to find solutions that balance people's needs without sacrificing, or minimizing the sacrifice that we need to make to our natural resources, because, we have to, that's our mission, is protecting wetlands, but we have to do it in a practical and pragmatic way that pays attention to the realities and the needs of communities as well.
I want to know why this is passionate for you. There are any sort of environmental organizations or groups that you could, work for and speak on behalf of. But Katie, your passion comes through, and I'm curious where it comes from.
Well, when I grew up, my parents, we spent a lot of time as a family in the outdoors, and I had some key teachers early in my life that really lit that fire in me for nature of all kinds, and just a curiosity for how the world around me works. And I think that's just been at the core. I mean, I love prairies and I love wetlands and woodlands. I love it all. And I work for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and I'd love to be in the middle of all that stuff, right?
Yeah. And so, but that wetland sort of puts you in the middle of all that stuff in one way or another.
Absolutely. It's why this was such a perfect place for me to have landed.
Katie Belfus, our guest outreach program director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, which has a number of celebrations for American Wetlands Month. And we'll get to those when we continue, along with your ongoing questions or comments about our wetlands across Wisconsin at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk at WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller today. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. Larry Mueller returns tomorrow on The Larry Mueller Show, and he'll be joined by Chad Spate from Chad's Design Build, who will have answers to all of your home improvement questions, as well as we'll go scuba diving in the Great Lakes for shipwrecks with Jerry Geyer. Tomorrow with Larry Mueller from 11 to 1. Right now, we are talking to Katie Belfus, who is the Outreach Program Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And Katie, how is the Wisconsin Wetlands Association celebrating American Wetlands Month?
Well, first I'll say, Lee, that of course we celebrate wetlands 365 days of the year. But American Wetlands Month is a great opportunity to help others. Plus, it's that time of year, right, in Wisconsin where spring is finally here and everybody's eager to get outside. So it's a great time to talk about wetlands. And we are celebrating them in a lot of ways. We have a free wetland coffee break webinar that happens just about every other Friday, although we have stacked the deck in May and we've had four talks in the month of May, and upcoming this week, folks can hear about the impact of restoration on bird communities in the Great Lakes on Friday morning at 10:30. And next week, on the 29th, we have someone from the Cable Natural History Museum in to talk about their exhibit this summer. The whole exhibit is dedicated to wetlands, so we're excited to learn about that. And those wetland coffee breaks are free and open to anybody who wants to come. Visit wisconsinwetlands.org. And under Get Involved, you can select Wetland Coffee Break and learn all about it. And I'll tell you that there's more than 100 recordings of past talks on that program as well that are available for folks who are interested. So check that out. We also, we're holding a bunch of community gatherings, and the one that was in May has already happened, but I wanted folks who are around the state to know that we're coming to a neighborhood near you over the summer so that we can just bring together people who care about wetlands and want to learn more about wetlands by hosting these events in communities across the state. So excited about that. We always are looking to connect people with where they can find wetlands near them and where they can find, you know, important wetlands that we have here in Wisconsin. So we have 100 high quality wetlands that we call wetland gems around the state. And we have a beautiful story map where folks can get in there and interact with a map and find wetlands near them and learn about them and how they can visit them.
A story map. So it's a map around Wisconsin that details or highlights some of our favorite wetlands and also has a story to share?
Absolutely. So there's information about why that place is important, what some of the threats are, how you can access them. We don't own or manage any land, and so we have just collaborated with folks who do own the land here that we feature in the Wetland Gems story map. But we provide links to their websites where you can find information about how to access the properties. And some of them are going to be very familiar, right? Wyalusing and Horicon Marsh. But there's a couple others that are off the beaten path and might be a really fun exploration.
So what are the ongoing threats to Wisconsin's wetlands?
Well, you've already mentioned climate change, and that's a big existential threat. And there's a lot of really good people who are doing work to try to understand more about what's going to change and what the impacts of that change is going to be. So that's certainly a threat. I think wetlands are also an opportunity to help us manage and adapt to the changing climate. But we can talk about that in a minute. Other threats, invasive species. A lot of folks talk about invasive species and the threat that they pose, and we agree. And we also see invasive species as sort of the scab on the wound. Mm. They're a sign that something is wrong with the system. And so while we understand the importance of controlling invasive species, we try to, promote the idea that you got to look at what's going on underneath. Attacking just the invasive species without looking at the system as a whole and the health is not, it's just like picking off your scab. Your mom always told you not to do that because it's just going to make it worse.
It's the symptom, not necessarily the disease.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Kathleen in Madison next. Kathleen, good afternoon.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that I look at my local wetlands also as a source of food, which the Ho-Chunk did as well. I like to go out in my local park, which is a city park, and so it's got a, you know, legally it's okay to forage. I go out in late summer, early fall. I harvest lotus seeds from the American lotus. About a month from now, I'll be out in the cattail marsh harvesting cattail pollen, which we make into cookies.
Oh.
And they're delicious. They taste just a little bit like pumpkin. And I wanted to say thank you so much for those wetland coffee break lectures. They have given me many continuing ed credits as a master naturalist, and they're actually really delightful. So if anybody's listening, yeah, you got to check those out.
Well, I am very curious about your cookies, Kathleen, and I thank you for the call. But you also brought up the work being done by tribes across Wisconsin with Wisconsin's wetlands, Katie.
I'm so glad that, Kathleen, thank you so much for your call and for making that connection. And yes, Wisconsin Wetlands Association has worked for, more than a decade in developing relationships with tribes across the state, both to help support them and connect them with one another in their work regarding wetlands, but also more recently trying to lift up the stories of the really important and wonderful work that they're doing on behalf of wetlands and watersheds in Wisconsin. And we have a brand new short video about the work of the Sacaugan Chippewa community, Mole Lake Band of Lake Superior Chippewa up in Forest County. This is the latest in a series of videos that we're producing for each of the tribes in Wisconsin about that work. They're short, they're mostly sort of 3 to 10 minutes long, short videos, and really tell some important history and provide us some context for the, as we were talking about earlier, right? It's not, it shouldn't be just wetlands or development or just, it's gotta be a partnership, and then there's a way to balance conservation with the needs of community. And I think the tribes, because of their long-range vision, that we talk about seventh generation, that's just normal for them, having that balance. It's part of their culture. And so in sort of sharing how that story looks for each of those tribes to help us, all of us, think about the possibilities for our own communities.
Kathleen, thank you so much for the call. We'll go to Aaron and Madison next. Aaron, good afternoon.
Hey guys, I just wanted to follow up on the call earlier regarding Tom Tiffany, and just I think you're also just talking about threats to wetlands, and I wanted to get your thoughts, Katie, on how you're thinking about how politicians threaten wetlands. And most folks may know or not know that Tom Tiffany has been looking and attacking wetlands for years. So I'm just curious, what does your organization do to, as it relates to outreach to voters, so that folks know how their voting decisions impact our wetlands?
Thank you for the question, and I'm going to answer a different question than what you asked, because it's what we focus less on the voter, because there's other organizations that are doing that important work, and we collaborate with those partners, and instead we focus on actually working with politicians directly and developing relationships with them. I will say, of course, because we're a statewide organization here in Wisconsin, we focus our efforts at the state legislature level. Sometimes we get involved in federal politics, but our focus really is here in Wisconsin because of our mission. But we have found that we've actually gone out, we've invited folks who we have been arguing with about legislative issues, and we've invited them out to the field for a conversation and a walk to talk and listen and look at wetlands and listen to what's happening with them and why they're important. And we have found that having that dialogue has found friends, political friends, that maybe some people wouldn't expect we would have. And that once we've had the conversations with folks and shared some information, they really come around and see this wetlands as solutions approach that we take as being a productive one. So we are decidedly nonpartisan, and we want to work with anybody who will be interested in protecting and caring for wetlands. And we have really built bridges there in a productive way and gotten bipartisan legislation through the state legislature to do some really important things, like pre-disaster grant program. Sorry, the name of it is falling. We call it PD Frog around my office.
And PD Frog.
I forget. It'll come to me, I'm sure. But that's a really important piece of legislation that that created a funding pool, a grant program for communities to apply to be able to do assessment of their challenges and threats from disasters and try to solve them ahead of time so they can apply for assessment funding and project implementation funding to try to reduce the threats from that flooding would pose to their community. So again, that was an effort, totally bipartisan supported effort that came through the legislature in Wisconsin because it made sense, financial sense and ecological sense.
Katie, as we're wrapping up here today, our celebration of American Wetlands Month, what's the process like of creating new wetlands or restoring old wetlands, and is it viable?
Well, when you've lost half of your wetlands, you have to look at restoring wetlands because that's how you're going to get your systems working again, right? That's how we're going to get our systems working again in terms of water flow. So you have to talk about restoration, and there's been a lot of work and advancement in that field in recent years, and we host a wetland science conference every year to bring together folks who are working on that. And yet, it's also, we're human, right? We are not Mother Nature, and Mother Nature has always done best. So we focus...
She's undefeated.
Yeah. And so you gotta restore the right... There's not one way to restore a wetland. There's just as there are many, many different types of wetlands, you have to then look at different approaches for restoring them because different kinds of wetlands are going to need different kinds of restoration. And the idea that you could just plunk a wetland somewhere that they didn't used to have a wetland is crazy, right? That's not going to be effective. You have to work with the land and restore them where they used to occur and bring them back to health there. So it is a really, really important thing. And we've got to move forward with it.
Katie Belfus, I want to thank you so much for your time and your passion. And I want to say happy American Wetlands Month to you and everybody at the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. It's been a pleasure.
Katie's the Outreach Programs Director for the Wisconsin Wetlands Association. And by way of full disclosure, the Wisconsin Wetlands Association is one of WPR's many business sponsors. Mentioned before that Larry Mueller returns tomorrow. I want to thank everybody for being a part of the show today and remind you that it is a team effort. I've got the easy part. Our producers, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnaud, Technical Director Jeff Robbins at the board today. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. And of course, a huge giant thank you to Larry Mueller. He'll be back tomorrow from 11 to 1 here on WPR News. I'm Lee Rayburn in for him today, and stay tuned. A lot more in store.